This dating game, I'm sorry, we kind of had a signal when it was turning on. The dating game has brought up an interesting issue that I want to talk to you about before we dive into the text. And the issue is the whole thing of dating. Okay? Because it is a monster in and of itself. And it's just getting bigger and worse. Alright? So let me just kind of, I'm just going to pick your brains. I just want to just start out with saying this. Dating is not a covenantal relationship. It's not protected in any way. Okay? Understand this. It doesn't exist. And you'll need to understand that because the mentality of today, and this has just gotten worse and worse. I've watched it grow over the last 20 years. But it's just gotten worse and worse. This kind of mentality of we've got some kind of formed, strong bond, covenant relationship because we talked yesterday. I mean, I was informed of a couple not too long ago that had broken up. I said, I never knew they were going together. Well, they were going together for a day. You can't go together for a day. It doesn't exist. And what I'm trying to rest y'all from is this mentality of we got to define the relationship before there is a relationship. You got to have a relationship first. You understand? See, y'all need to just chill out. Okay? I mean, I had people who got mad, you know, because people we signed up for the dating game. I can't sign up for this, you know, blind date going bowling, double, triple, quadruple dates because somebody might find out. I mean, good night. You're not getting married, okay? You're not snogging after the thing. You better not be. It's a British word. It's a British word for making out, okay? It's just a date. And I want you to understand, and I really, there's a few things, there's a few reasons why I think it's a big deal, and a few things that I want to talk to, reason why I want to bring it out. The first thing is this. What we're doing with dating is kind of like what we've done with the church. And the other church will tell you, it can't be good, right? But the way the church functions, the way this Bible functions is this. The way it should be is this. There is the gospel. Bam! That's it. The gospel. It's everything. And there's nothing else. But what we've done over the last 2,000 years or so is we've added all this junk to it. So now we got the gospel, but you also got Bible studies and Bible school and Sunday school and choir practice and evangelism practice and skit team. And it's all just kind of all part of it. So it's not enough that you have the gospel. How much of this other stuff you have? And you know what? If you got the gospel and you just take it completely off the landscape, you don't even miss it. And what we've done is, and what the Bible does with relationships between men and women is it says there is marriage. Bam! That's it. And there is betrothal, which is we're going to get married. That's it. There's not, but what have we done? We've done talking, dating, going steady, pinned, intended, added all this junk to it. And so what happens? And what has happened? Right? And all this drama. You know, where are we? Define the relationship. You're nowhere. I want you to know, if you're not engaged, you're nowhere. I'll tell you what your relationship is. It's nowhere. And I really, I know it's easy for me, right? Because I'm done this, but if you haven't known each other for 6 months, okay, it is honest to goodness, all right, and you're going to agree with this in a few years after you've been married. If you haven't known each other for at least 6 months, it's really silly to be exclusively dating. It's just silly. You're going to look back on that and go, okay, that was really dumb. You don't even know each other. So you're saying, and what y'all are doing, you're marking each other, you know, so, you know, if we ever break up, you can't date any of my friends, and I can't date any of your friends, and that's just. And what you're doing, what a lot of you are doing, and I say you, I mean your entire generation, okay? Because I'm not one of y'all. What a lot of you are doing is you're not dating; you're practicing idolatry. You hear that? You're practicing idolatry. You must. You're just possessive. I remember I was in a laundromat
with my campus minister, Hal Farnsworth, and we were spending the summer together. I was living with him while I was working with the inner city ministry. Bianca had flown off to Australia, and we were doing his laundry, folding his clothes, and I said, "Well, I just don't understand why it just really bothers me, the idea, you know, that she's going to be off with these other guys all summer." And he looked up at me, and said, "Well, it's because you're not an idolater." What? He said, "Ricky, the only thing you have is Jesus." Okay, Hal. It's true, isn't it? It's the only thing you have to have. And I want y'all to get to that point. You don't have to have each other. You don't. Because you know what? I got a great marriage. We've been married for 12 and a half years. The Lord could take my wife tomorrow. And if He did, I'd be very sad. But I would not be as destroyed as some of you are when you lose your girlfriend or boyfriend. Because it's an idolatry. You also do not love the person you're dating. If you love them, you would want what was best for them. And you know what? You may not be it. You may not. My very best friend in the world, well, I don't know, how do you say that? In the top 10. Alright? Is a real person. Keith Berger. I'll tell you his name. You know, he's a campus minister down at LSU. He's probably going to listen to this and be mad, I told you. But everybody knows it. You know who he married? He married his girlfriend's roommate. He married his girlfriend's roommate. How could you do that? Because his girlfriend loved him. And it all wasn't working. And his girlfriend was a bridesmaid. And they're still friends to this day. They vacation together. It's okay. You should want what is best for each other. You don't have to have each other. It's okay. Dating doesn't exist. It doesn't. And those of you whose friends, the friends of the daters are even worse. Y'all freaking out. They're dating. Have you heard they're dating? Kind of creating something. It doesn't exist. Okay? The reason we're creating this game, I want y'all to see it's okay. Just relax. It's okay for a guy and a girl to go spend time together. You might like each other. You might not. The worst thing that's going to happen is you've made a new friend that you don't like. The best thing that's going to happen is you made a new friend that you do like. That's it. It's just not a big deal. If you're not being sexually active, which you better not be if you are, you need to listen to all the sermons we did the first half of the semester, then it's okay. You're not scarring yourself. It's okay to date. You know, and I would encourage as many of you as possible to get involved with this. I think a good medicine, you know, if you're dating somebody, it doesn't mean you can't go bowling with somebody else. It might be good to kind of just bring some reality to your life. You're not engaged. Because what's happening is this. You're forcing yourself to make all these decisions about whether or not this person is the one for me before you know them. You're defining the relationship before you even know them. And now that you've gotten to know them and you're dating them, that would be a good time to go date other people and realize if this is really the one you want or not. It's like once you're dating, it's like you're in some kind of committed pre-engagement thing, and you're not. And now you're getting to know each other, and now's the time when you need some time off from time to time, and go spend some time with other people and say, "Is this who I really want to be with?" Because the standards for dating are low. All a girl needs to have a guy to date is a guy who they're attracted to and who's nice to them. That's really what you're looking for. I'm going to be attracted to him, and then he's nice to me. Sit. Now, for marriage, your standard needs to be up here. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And that's why I just want you to understand that dating is not in here. It doesn't exist. Okay? It's not a protected relationship. Final story. And this is how I view it, and it's why I want you to view it. Y'all know that the couple that used to lead music, Katie and Daniel Brink, are now married. Did you know that when they started dating, when Daniel first declared his feelings for Katie,
she had a boyfriend. And he came to her and I said, well, tell her. But she has a boyfriend. So? It doesn't exist. It's okay. That is not adultery. It's not adultery for you to have to debate it somebody 4 or 5 times and to look at somebody else and say, I like her better. That's okay. Now, if you were married, somebody came to me and said, I really like so-and-so's wife. I wouldn't say go declare your feelings. I'd say don't let that feeling grow. You need to cut that off. But there is nothing adulterous. I mean, you're just trying to find husbands and wives. Okay? So, I'm going to throw that out there. I know none of you agree with it, and that's okay. And I just appreciate y'all for sitting still. All right? Because I really figured by now I have at least 10 people crying and 15 people walking out the door. So, thanks for hanging in there with me. Good night, and God bless. No, Genesis chapter 1. If you have questions about it, please come Sunday night. We'll talk it out, man. I won't send anybody home until y'all ready to go home. All right. Genesis chapter 1. The most important rules are usually not written out. You know that? The most important rules for anything are usually just kind of implicit. For instance, a question I get asked all the time, where does the Bible say we have to be members of the church? And you know what the answer is? Well, it doesn't really say that. But almost every book in the New Testament is addressed to the church. So if you're not in the church, it's not to you. I'm sorry, you just don't have the right to read it. It's not your letter. These letters are addressed to the church. See? It's kind of implicit. It's kind of like asking, where does the PGA rule book of golf say I have to be a human? They left that one out. You know, I could be a robot. Well, you know, there's some things that are just assumed. They're implied. Everywhere the Bible teaches about relationships, it uses two words. It uses a man and a woman. And what that implies is you're not a child. You're not a boy or a girl. You see, the Bible has two different sets of rules. There are children, and basically the only rule for children is obey your parents and the Lord. Sorry, you'll like that one day when you have kids. But men and women, we got all these different rules. Okay? And one of the fundamental rules of marriage is a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. It implies that you are a man. Guys, I'm going to talk to y'all tonight. Girls, you need to listen. It's very important because your standards have fallen way too low. So I need y'all to listen. But men, I'm talking to y'all. Boys, whichever. I'll let you decide. After we finish. So what we're going to talk about tonight is, when are you a man? Because until you're a man, you have no right to assume. It is very unsafe for you to be pursuing a wife. You're not ready. So we're going to look at what it means to be a man tonight. And what men should do if we have time, which we probably won't. Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In Genesis 2, verses 15 through 25. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die.
Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Then man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. What does it mean to be a man? It's an idea that's lost. It's an idea that there's a lot of writing about. And it's something that doesn't seem to be a whole bunch of agreement on. And it's not something that will come down on just very particularly. You have to do this or you have to do that. But really, what we're asking is, what does it mean? What separates the men from the boys? What really is it? And we're going to look at several things. And the first thing I want you to see is, where does it start? It starts with the image of God. He says, "Let us make man in our own image." Now, what does that mean? It means that what God was doing was He was wanting to establish walking sermons all over the earth. He wanted for wherever you knew, walked on the earth to be able to know, for you to know who God was. And the way He was going to do that was He put men out there. And it's a lot like, you remember when we invaded Iraq? Oh, do you remember that? It's kind of going on right now. And one of the things we did, every time we took over a city, what did we do? We pulled down those statues of Saddam Hussein. Why were they there? They were there to remind the people of Iraq who was in charge. That's exactly what God is doing. He is putting His image all over the earth to show us who is in charge. To show the animals and the birds and the angels and whoever else is looking, who is in charge. And He's done that by putting His image upon us. And it's a beautiful and it's a powerful thing. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God." That a man, in this particular case, a man, separate from women, a man is in a special way the image and glory of God. And that vests us with a dignity, with an integrity, with a value. And that's something that's extremely important. And in times of when culture was better, meant something. You know, it just meant something to be a man. There were certain things you just would not do because you were a man. Yeah, take that. For instance, one movie that I refer to a lot, I didn't even think it was that good of a movie. Everybody's All American, you know, it's about the running back to Grey Ghost, the guy who ran the punt back against Ole Miss. Sports trivia, you need to know that. But he ran back from LSU, and they're showing him being recruited by the boosters there, and one of them was going to buy him a car. And he said, "Wasn't that illegal?" And the man said, "Well, it's illegal, but what we're going to do is I'm going to sell it to you for $5. He said, "It's perfectly legal that way." And he looked at me and said, "That's legal, but it's common. That's not me. I'm not going to do that." Another movie, maybe you have seen, The Crucible. Wildly overdramatic, drug out. It was a pretty poor movie. But, and the reason I say that is it had like 18 climactic scenes. But, and kind of the one that was supposed to be the big scene when they're begging this guy's going to be hung for being a witch when he's not. And all he has to do is confess that he's spoken to a witch or done something like that. And basically they're begging him in jail. His wife and his pastor are begging him to lie. Just say that you did it so you don't have to die, so you can support your family. And they're begging him to do it. And they say, "Well, but, you know, live. If you just say this, you can live." And he looked at him and he said, "I can live without my dignity."
We don't. We've completely lost that. That there is a dignity to being a man that will keep us from lying. That will keep us from cheating. That will keep us from doing anything to cheapen ourselves. Because we're the honor and glory of God. That there's a value to us. And I hope you carry that around. I really do. I hope you're trying to regain that. That there's some language that just won't be used around you. That there's some plans that other guys want to make plans they want to make about what they want to do this weekend, that they're going to shut up when you walk into the room. Because you're the image and glory of God, and when you walk in there, they're reminded. And they're going to be quiet. What else comes with the honor? With honor comes duty. When honor comes duty, whenever you're promoted, there's always more people under you. And what did God do with Adam? He put him in the garden to tend it, to work it, and to keep it. To be a man, there are things that you just have to do when you're the man. There's duty under you. There's responsibility under you. We're going through with the kids these days. We're kind of watching like classic movies. And the one we watched most recently was Old Yeller. And I was just kind of watching the kids and watching cry, you know. But the entire movie, and only one of them did at this point. I was hoping for all three. But you know, it's a beautiful story. Because the boy becomes a man. Because he has to take care of his mother. And one of the things he has to do is he has to go out and shoot his dog because he's got rabies. And his mom said, "You want me to do it?" And he said, "No, Mom, I'll do it." Because he's a man. If you want to become a man, if you want to get married someday, you need to start taking over your area of responsibility. You need to have your garden. You need to tend and to keep something. What you need to do is you need to finish something. You need to start exerting some dominion over something. You ever wonder why your dad was so big into his lawn? It's because it was his. And he wanted it to look like it was his. You need to have pride in something and make it look like it's yours. Unfortunately, everything you have looks like it's yours, and it reveals your personality. There has to be an independence. You understand that? Look at this very interesting thing. God declares it is bad for man to be alone, but before he will give him a wife, what does he make him do? He makes him name all the animals. You understand what he's doing there? He's taking dominion over all the animals. God said, "I'm creating man to take dominion over the earth," and he would not give him a wife until he had done it. And I think it's very important. Because basically what we're doing is we're letting people get married just because they're old enough. And God is saying, I think there's a principle here that you need to have finished something. And you need to be independent. Before you're ready to do that. You need to go and finish something. And I'm sorry, part of this is just kind of a cultural baggage that's handing over to you, that we're kind of pushing adulthood further and further back. It's a worldwide phenomenon. It really is. You know, your granddad probably got married when they were 17, and they probably stayed married about 70 years. But because no one's forcing you to pay for anything, we've just kind of pushed adulthood further and further back. And the average age to get married right now is about 26 in America. It's about 27 in Europe, 28 in some places. We're just pushing adulthood further and further back. And it's very common for people to not pay their... I mean, if somebody else is just paying your way, you're just not grown up. You're just not. You know, there's not a qualitative difference between somebody who's 20 years old and getting all their bills paid by their daddy, and somebody who's 6 years old and getting all the bills paid by their daddy. You understand? There's just a responsibility that's just not there. And there's no way of faking that. I mean, I was talking about it with a guy at church last night, and he came up to me and we were talking about the whole thing we're going through, and he said, "You know, if I got married right out of college, I would have gotten divorced like that. There's no way it would have worked. I just wasn't ready." Because there's just something that happens to you when you go, "Okay, this is how much money I've got this month. And these are how many bills I've got this month. Period." And there's no net. And there's no calling up dad saying, "Hey, Dad, any more money?" And until you've got that, you're just not grown up. And that's kind of a weird thing for me to say, because there's nothing you can really do about it. I don't really think any of you are going to go from here and call up your parents and say, "No more money, parents." You know, I don't expect you to do that. Just, if you want to get married anytime soon, you should. And I just kind of let you know that you're just not ready. You're really not. You see what he says here? You have to leave your family first. And until that umbilical cord's cut, you haven't done that. And you need to finish something. And some of you, college is finishing something. Especially if you're a first-generation college student. If you're the first generation in your family to go to college, it's usually a pretty big deal, and you're finishing something. You're doing something. But some of you are just kind of sleepwalking through. You know, it's kind of what's always been expected of you. Kind of, you know, 13th grade, 14th grade, 15th grade, 16th grade, got another degree, now what? And you need to own something. You need to take dominion. You need to cut the cord. What does it mean? What does that look like? It looks like basically what you need to develop to be a man is you need to develop three things. You need to develop discernment or decisiveness. You need to develop your emotions, and you need to develop your courage. What does that mean? First of all, you got to be able to start making decisions for yourself. When are you a man? You're a man when you're old enough to decide for yourself how fast to drive. You don't need the speedometer. You don't need speed limits. You're not slowing down every time a policeman calls. I'm sorry, I ran out of air. You're not slowing down every time a policeman comes by. You're making the decisions for yourself. You know how fast you can safely drive, and that does not mean as fast as you possibly can. You know, you're a man when you're able to just kind of determine when do I need to go to bed at night? Not just when the dorm is quiet. Not when everybody else has nothing else to do. You're a man when you're beginning to make decisions about when you need to study. And you're beginning to make decisions and not just letting everybody else tell you what to do. Well, you don't need your parents telling you how much to study. You don't need your parents calling up and checking out your grades because you're taking responsibility about that yourself. That's being a grown-up. And some of it's hard. You know, I make stupid decisions all the time. 2 years ago, I made the dumbest decision in the world. You know, I bought a new minivan. That's exciting for me. That's as good as it gets. That wasn't a bad decision. I needed a van. But Ryan and I flew out to Houston to get it. We picked the van up at 8 p.m. We'd been up since 5:30 that morning, so we had to leave early to go to Jackson. Had to preach somewhere. So we've been up since 5:30. It's now 8 p.m. We're in Houston, Texas, and we leave to come home. And we drove all night because I was a man and I'm macho and I'm cool and drink coffee and come. Yeah, that was cool. And I was so stupid. Because I didn't have the right to endanger the father of my 4 children. And I didn't have the right to endanger the husband of my only wife. And that was a dumb decision. Those are the kind of decisions you have to start to make. Start thinking beyond, will this be fun? But is this the right thing to do? You have to develop your intelligence. You have to develop your decisiveness. You've got to be able to make decisions. I don't know how to say that. You've got to be able to make decisions for yourself. Secondly, for us to be grown up, for us to be men, we've got to be emotionally engaged. You know, the curse, you know what happened to you? In about 7th grade, you got really excited about something, and one of your friends laughed at you for being excited about it. And ever since then, you've been cool. And that just ruined your whole life. Being cool is so boring. You know, all you kind of do is like, oh, yeah, man, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. You know, you get like the greatest gift thing you've been wanting your entire life. You can't look excited. Oh, awesome. Man, that's awesome. You know, what's fun to do is kind of be the David Letterman. Just kind of be over here being sarcastic and making fun of the people who get real excited, you know. Look at that guy jumping around like a little girl when inside you're going, hey! And because of that, we're afraid. There's nothing we're willing to cry about. There's nothing we're ready to get angry over. Man, you know what I would love? You know what I heard then? Her story, true story, about a kid who had just taken away from his mother and given to her grandmother. You know why he's taken away?
Because the kid had failed to clean up dog poo in the middle of the living room. His puppy had messed in the living room, and he didn't clean it up. And his mother came home and made him do push-ups over it. And made him put his face into it every time he went down. And feed him when he came up. You know what I wish? What do I get anything for? And about 100 of you guys would get so mad about that, you'd go do something. Instead of pretty much feeling the same way about that as you feel about a Mississippi State basketball law. Or actually not nearly as bad about that as you do about Mississippi State basketball law. You get mad about it. And do something. Man, I wish I could find some guys who'd be mad. Who could experience some emotional intensity. And do something. And quit worrying about how cool you look. Can you cry about something? Can you get mad about something? And then thirdly and finally, you've got to be courageous enough to do something. You've got to be willing to be laughed at. You've got to be willing to be wrong. And you've got to be willing to lead. And do you understand what it means to ask a girl to marry you? It means you're asking her to give up her life and follow you. You're saying, trust me. I'm going to take care of you. Just trust me. You have the courage to do that. You need to start developing it now. And you'll find the courage to do that when you begin to realize that life comes through death anyway. You'll find the courage to do that when you get to a point where you just don't believe you can fail. Because you've invested yourself in Christ and you believe He's going to support you and hold you up if you fail. You'll find the courage to do that when you just already die. I don't know how else to say it. You know, the famous charge that Colonel B. led on the Battle of First Manassas, the Northern soldiers were winning the day. The Southern soldiers were running out of ammunition. He comes back to General Jackson. He says, Jackson, he said, General, they're beating us back. And Jackson said, well, then it's time to give them the bayonet. And he ran back to his men and he said, let us determine to die here and we will win and we will conquer. If you've already just determined to die, I'm already dying for this. I don't care about what I look like. I don't care about whether I win or not. All I care about is the thing. Taking care of this woman, accomplishing this purpose, loving the Lord Jesus, whatever it is, when you're willing to die for it, is where you gain the courage to do it. Where do you get that? Where do you get it? You get it by realizing that you haven't got it. You get the courage by realizing that it's not in here. That it's somewhere else. And when you realize that you are a little boy, and you don't want to be a little boy anymore, and you go out and you find somebody who's a man, and you look to the one who was the absolute perfect image of God, so much so that He said to Thomas, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And you look to the one who had an absolute sense of duty, so much so that He said over and over again, I have not come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who is in heaven. And you look to the one who had such responsibility that He was able to say in sacred prayer, Father, it is done. I have done everything You have given me to do. And you look to the one who has had such discernment that He was able to read through the law and He was able to listen to all the things that everyone else was saying and He was able to say, you've heard it said one thing, but let me tell you the truth and teach with authority. And you look to the one that had such emotional involvement that he said, zeal for the Lord's house has consumed me. And he didn't care how he looked, what he looked like, but he was kicking everybody out of that temple. And he was going to cry when it was time to cry. And if you look to the one who had such courage that he set his jaw like flint and he went to Jerusalem and every time his disciples said, why are we going to Jerusalem? He said, we're going there to die. And if you'll give up on yourself, and you'll look to Him. And you'll put your trust in Him.
You see, that's the key. You know how I've made every hard decision I've ever made in my life? That's funny, because Bianca was asking me to do it again the other day. You make a decision, you do the right thing, you do the best thing as far as you know how, and you get on your face, and you beg the Lord Jesus, don't let me ruin my life. I think this is the right thing to do, but my trust is in you. Don't let me ruin my life. And when you get that faith out of yourself, and you admit your fear, and you admit your ignorance, and you admit your immaturity, and you put it on Him, and He makes a man out of you. Girls, don't settle for somebody that you think is cute and who is nice to you. Look for a man that you respect. Okay? I have got so many dear friends that I just love, and they've got terrible marriages, and I don't know how to help them. And you know why they get terrible marriages? Because their wives are mothering them. And their wives mother them because they don't respect them. You find somebody that you are willing to follow, that you respect. Not somebody that somebody's cute, not somebody that you just have fun hanging with. Somebody you respect. And don't sell yourself short. Guys, Jesus will make you into that man. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, I confess with every male in here that we are not the men we ought to be. And we ask your grace and your forgiveness. We don't serve the people you put us here to serve. We don't sacrifice. We know little about courage and we know less about integrity. Will you teach us? Will you stamp your image back upon us? Lord, it just overwhelms me that you would lower yourself so much as to call me your honor and glory. Would you make us worthy of the title?